This is Jane McPhillan interviewing Stephen Griggs at his home on Mount Riga. The date is September 21st, 2012. He's going to talk about his family background and the home that he lives in presently on Mount Riga. Just hold it and talk.
Okay. Well, we're sitting in the living room of my cabin that I built beginning in 1970. And we are looking at the log walls, which were originally at a one-room, 16 by 18-foot chestnut log cabin built in 1912, so 100 years ago, by a Virginia gentleman who was up here and built several cabins at that time. It was behind Castanook, the original home that was built for the Iron Master back in the 1840s, I believe. And this log cabin was built behind Castanook for my father and his brother to play in and later to use as a sleeping cabin when my father was six in 1912.
And what was your father's name?
My father's name was, he was known as Van Griggs. His name was John Van Benschoten Griggs.
Was his wife Barbara?
Barbara Griggs, my mother, yes, who died just last year. Yes. So, these logs I hauled over here and rebuilt the cabin using these logs. And, of course, the fact that they're chestnut, it makes them special because, as we all know, that chestnut blight hit in the 1930s, and even logs this size, which are small chestnut trees, don't grow this big anymore. I think they all usually die out when they get to about 6 inches in diameter. We still do have chestnut here, but they die. So I built this cabin and started in 1970, built it during the summers when I had time, and first lived in it in 1974. And have lived here every summer since then, basically.
How are you connected with the Petit family?
No connection to the Petits, if you mean a connection with the old iron forging business.
Yes, no. I do.
Most of the people up here on Mount Riga now have no connection, family connections, to the iron forging industry.
Do you have any connection with people that lived here previously?
No, nobody, none of the people that are existing, that are on Mount Riga now, have any family connections to the, it's an interesting piece of history. I'll try to do it quickly, but in the iron forging days, all of this mountaintop was bustling with activity. There were, I believe, almost 2,000 full-time residents, and there was a general store, there was a school. There were farms, and there were people here. The colliers were cutting hardwood to reduce into charcoal for the forge. There were all the people who worked the forge. There were the people who brought the ore up from below.
But they all have left, and so all of the people now that own cabins or camps
have no
connection.
No family connections to the old iron forging era.
Now, do you own the land that this building sits on?
Yes. This cabin and my other cabin that was built by my father are on land that we own. Some of the houses are not.
Thank you.
But again, really quickly, the family, the history is this, that when the furnace died, happened to coincide with two things, with when the Bessemer process came into the world, which was it could make better steel, make steel instead of iron, and the Civil War, all of the people who lived up here had no real purpose, and it's a very, very hard winter up here. So little by little, they drifted off the top of the mountain until it became, in one book, there's a book called Great American Ghost Towns, I believe, and it's and Mount Riga is listed in that, and it would have been in the period right after the first Civil War. And then a few years, about 20 years later, these people who are up here now bought up the top of the mountain. That was the Warners, the Schwabs.
And the Wellses.
And they bought up the mountaintop. They bought all the plots of land, which nobody needed anymore. All those families that had little plots up here had drifted away, either to fight in the Civil War or because there were other things they could do down in the valley and there was no more iron industry. So that's the reason that none of us have any real connection to the iron industry.
How many camps or cabins are up here now?
I haven't counted them, but it's just under 40, I believe. And a cabin is defined by having a kitchen.
Oh.
Because there's all kinds of cabins around. If you look around my cabin, you'll see sleeping cabin and a treehouse cabin.
But you have a kitchen, so you...
If it's a kitchen, this is a camp.
This is a camp.
And my father's cabin of 100 yards from here is also a camp.
Because it has a kitchen.
Yes. That's the definition of a residence in effect up here.
Great. Okay.
All right. So Castanook was the last grand original house built up here because nobody thought the iron industry would die. Nobody knew the Civil War would break out, and the industry was going strong. So they built that as the Iron Master's Lodge. It sits up on the hill overlooking the furnace near the lake, and there were... I've always heard stories of grand parties that took place there where people would come from as far as Lenox and other places for these great parties and to buy silks and things that were in the general store. And so this was really quite a place different than it is now. Hard to really even imagine. So my family took over Castanook in 1902. My great-grandfather was the greengrocer in Lakeville. And
his name was?
His name was John... his name, I'm blanking. His name was... My grandfather was John Stillwell Griggs. His father, I'm not sure I have the answer to that. But he was the greengrocer in Lakeville and became friends with at least one of the guys that bought up this place, meaning one of the Warners or the Wells.
Where was his place of business in Lakeville?
I don't know. This is all back in the 1800s, and I've lost track of it.
It doesn't hurt to ask.
No, it doesn't. I wish I did know. So he was invited up here and became friends with these guys, and finally they said, well, why don't you take over the old Iron Master's Lodge? It was actually his son by then that did that, my grandfather.
And your grandfather's name?
John Stillwell Griggs. So in 1902, it was the first year that we became, rather than visitors to our... To the friends, we became real residents here, and now it's now 100 years, 110 years that our family's been up here.
With Castanook Camp, when your grandfather took it over, did he own the land as well as the building?
No, that was never the case and never has been the case.
It's just the building.
That's one of the ones where the land is owned by the corporation, Mount Riga. And the house is has been owned by, I could almost give you a line of ownership. My family, right during the war, my grandmother died, and my parents were living in California. My father was teaching out there. They couldn't come across the country because of gas rationing. So in 1942, they gave it up, and the O'Briens took it over. And after the O'Briens, it was the Schlesingers.
How do you spell Schlesinger?
S-C-H-L-E-S-I-N-G-E-R.
One S.
Yes. And Mary DePasquale, who's a Lakeville resident, is the daughter of Dr. Schlesinger, who lived there. So we all knew them growing up. They were there. I can't think of exactly who would have been next, but I know in the late 1960s, it was owned by Sis Harris, who's Reese Harris, Sis Harris, and their son, Billy. Bill Harris lives in town still.
Sis Harris is the wife of Reese
Harris, yes. And then it was, now it's owned, and then the Heinemans, who live here now,
and
bought it.
How do you spell Heinemann?
H-E-I-N-E-M-A-N-N. And they bought it from the Harrises, and they own it now. So, it's a fine old place. We'll walk over there, we'll go across and take a look at it before I take you down.
Thank you.
The valley. But, so it has a fine history, and it goes back, I'm not sure when it was built, I'm saying 1840, at a time when the iron industry was going strong, and they had no reason to think it wouldn't continue.
Mr. Dresser said that Mr. Petit came from Boston?
I believe so, to run the furnace.
To run the furnace?
I believe so, yes. And you've seen the cemetery, which is...
Just today,
yeah. And I don't know if you notice, most of the stones are back in the 1800s. There's a few in the early 1900s. And you may have seen two more recent ones. If not, I'll show you.
Yes.
My parents are... The last two people to be buried there, my father in 1954 and my mother in 2011.
And your father's name is?
John Van Benschoten Griggs. John, and the middle name is V-A-N, capital B-E-N-S-C-H-O-T-E-N.
And your mother's name?
Barbara Hansel Griggs. Barbara Griggs. Barbara. H-A-N-S-L. And the Van Benschoten is my middle name, and also Jim Dresser's middle name, and our grandmothers were sisters.
Okay, so you're second cousins.
Second cousins, yeah.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add while we're here in your interesting camp?
No, I think it's... I think just the fact that we have the chest logs from 1912... that I brought over here and rebuilt. I don't know if you're going to take pictures, but you'll see that it's not... I'll describe it for you just... And this is not going to probably end up in the history, but the original cabin was a one-room log cabin, exactly the size of this living room. But instead of returning it to its original rectangular shape, I made it L-shaped so that... What you see when you come up to the cabin is the four log walls. So if you take a picture from out front, you'll see that the log walls are in an L shape.
I want an outside picture. We came up
from the back.
A goat trail.
You
from
came
the
up
back.
The back trail, yeah. Right. Okay, so that's probably, I mean, other than that, it's just the fact that I built this place myself, and I actually...
How did you chink the logs or caulk them?
Just mortar, but with extra doses of lime in it that hold bond it a little better.
Any insulation?
No. And
you heat with wood?
Heat with wood, but a good wood stove.
And how about water?
Water. I'll show you the water tank. We pump from a well into a big tank, and then we have a gravity feed into
feed.
It. Yeah.
Because I saw the black
line. Right. Yeah, that runs a lot of... We have to drain those very carefully in the winter or they burst, and then you have to replace them.
How about sewage?
We have an outhouse at each cabin, and at my mother's house they have a flush toilet, and here we have a composting toilet. I'll show you those. I guess the other thing is that I've built this place with hand tools, without using a generator. I didn't buy a generator until like 4 years ago. And so it's, that's why.
Now, when you took that cabin apart, were the logs mortise and tendoned? Were they notched?
No, notched. There was never a spike or a nail in. It took me just a couple hours to take the whole thing down once I had the roof off. Because it was like Lincoln Logs. Literally, just pick them up and throw them off. I marked them all. I marked them all so I knew which ones went on top of which ones. And I kept all four walls separate so I knew exactly what was supposed to go in which order. But I didn't rebuild it in a rectangle. I built it, as you can see, in L shape. Double L shape. But
thank you.
That's that. Okay.